The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I noted a rather curious convergence of themes this Sunday in our scriptures. The first of these comes from the reading from Acts and the Psalm. Very rarely will you find an exact phrase repeated in these two first readings. And so we heard about the early years of the church described thus. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord. And then Psalm 22 said, I will fulfill my vows before those who fear the Lord. So fear of the Lord is theme number one. Remember that. And this did not immediately seem to harmonize, in my opinion, with then our two readings which come to us from the Apostle John, from his first letter and then from his gospel. Namely, the theme of Jesus as the vine and the encouragement to remain in him. Remain on the vine. How do those two themes possibly converge? Well, let's begin with a consideration of the first of these. Fear of the Lord. Doesn't sound like a good thing, but it is a good thing. In fact, it's a very good thing, and the scriptures attest to this. I remember my first week in seminary. I was in my early 20s. There was a man in my class. He was a few years older than I was, than the rest of us, actually. He had spent some time in a monastery as a monk. He was more familiar with the sacred scriptures than the rest of us. And our priest director turned to him, and he said, Mr. Malik, tell me, what is the beginning of wisdom? And he immediately responded, the fear of the Lord. And I was very impressed and also a little bit nervous because I had no idea what the beginning of wisdom was. And I didn't realize that he was quoting one of the most famous passages from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs begins by pointing out that the beginning of wisdom, not the end, but the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Remember, too, that fear of the Lord is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know that from the list of them given to us in the prophet Isaiah. When we are confirmed, we receive these special gifts. One of them is fear of the Lord. And that has to be properly understood. It's not a gift of servile fear in the sense of being afraid of God as a barrier to love, but rather as having a reverential fear or awe for God. In a word, reverence. Having a reverence for God, recognizing that God is God and I am not. He created me, I did not create him. He will one day judge me, I am in no position or authority to judge God. In essence, a humility, a right understanding of who I am and who God is. And as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord, then, the church teaches, leads to all of the wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit. These are listed for us in the Catechism. Listen to this list. Love, peace, joy, kindness, patience, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, chastity, modesty, self-control. I would be hard-pressed to come up with a list of things that most people want apart from these. This sounds like a list of all of the things that we all want. I wish I could be more patient. I wish I could be more chaste. I wish I could be more loving. I wish I could have more peace in my life. I wish I could be more joyful. Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Fruit is certainly a theme of our readings today. And at the root of this, of all of these fruits, lies fear of the Lord, a reverence before him. All right, now let's consider the second theme, the theme of Christ as the vine, and the encouragement, or maybe even warning, to remain on that vine, remaining in him. Jesus gives many metaphors or images to describe holy things, describe himself, describe his relationship to his disciples, to describe the church, the kingdom of God. Most of these are taken from nature or from agriculture. You know, growing wheat. I'm not terribly familiar with growing wheat. Or sheep and goats. I know practically nothing about sheep and goats. I do have some familiarity, though, from my early years with grapevines, because I grew up on a little piece of property on the Willamette Valley in Oregon, what had been, around 1900, a small farm slash orchard. And though it had been divided up into suburban lots in the post-war years, some remnants of that little farm and orchard remained. So to the immediate south of our house and yard was the original frame farmhouse, and some remnant of the field there, still a cherry tree there. And then immediately to the north of us, the house on that property was the barn, a very low-lying barn that had been framed in and turned into the house. And then on the very next lot, north of that, was the old, about 100-year-old steel and glass greenhouse, which was by the time I was a boy, in very poor repair. And right next to the greenhouse was a vine, probably about 100-year-old grapevine. Grapes are very, very hardy, of course. Not that you have to be particularly hardy as a plant to survive in the Willamette Valley, but this very, very old vine, I'm pretty sure was a Concord grape vine. So I would go over there in the summer times and just gorge myself on these grapes, which is not a good idea. there's a reason that they make grape juice out of this particular grape, because you huge, huge, dark purple grape, and you bite into it. You're a little kid and you think, this is a great idea, because the first thing that hits your mouth is all of the sugar water, and then you have to chew into that just horribly bitter center green pulp. But, you know, in the moment, you're just stuffing your face. You'll be vomiting later, but the moment you think it's a good idea. Well, anyway, so I'm around this vine as a little boy, and one of the things that struck me was, as compared to various other plants, grapevines have tremendously large leaves, huge leaves, these giant solar panels, natural solar panels, so that they may produce that fruit. I mean, you think about how heavy grapes are relative to the plant, this vine, not tremendously bulky. The leaves have to be that big in order to make that much fruit, that much mass. But the point of a grapevine, of course, is not the leaves, right? It's the fruit. And so, too, the point of our lives, we who are branches on the vine, the point of our lives is not simply existing, but bearing fruit. So we are told that God the Father, who is the vine grower, prunes. Because from the point of view of the vine grower, a good vine is a fruitful one, not necessarily a leafy one. Okay, sometimes in life, we get too leafy, don't we? And we can be rather proud of ourselves, saying, wow, I'm very full. I'm very lush. I'm extremely leafy. All of my energies are being channeled into these leaves. Look at me. And from the point of view of God the Father, he says, that's not the point. So he comes up with the shears and he says, I'm going to prune you because you're not channeling your energies into bearing fruit. So I'm going to snip off this relationship. I'm going to prune off this honor, this job, this money, this attachment, this friend. So on you go, ah, why? That wasn't a bad friendship. That money is not bad. He says, it's not bad. Just too many leaves. You only have so much energy, and you're channeling that energy into keeping all of these leaves alive, and you're not channeling the energy into bearing fruit. That is why we are here. Not to just be big leafy plants, but to be fruit-bearing plants. And that's why God prunes. Now, Jesus also said, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, dot, dot, dot. Why would he have said that? I would propose that it is because Jesus knows that we are tempted to think otherwise. And here, I think, is the convergence of our two themes, fear of the Lord and remaining in Jesus, remaining on the vine. It takes a rather profound arrogance / foolishness to say, I don't need the vine. I can go my own way. I'm going to prune myself off the vine. And lots of people do that in various ways. I mean, on the extreme end of things could be the person who says, you know, this vine doesn't even exist. God doesn't exist. I'm an independent branch. Atheism. But it could also be less than that. Oh, God exists. I just don't need any religion in my life. Or, sure, religion, fine. I just don't need the Mass or the sacraments. Or, you know, okay, Mass, I just don't need to pray. It takes various forms. We're all familiar with this. It's a temptation that's universal. I don't need to remain connected to the Lord in this way or that way. You fill in the box as to how you are particularly tempted. And that's foolishness, and that's arrogance, and that is irreverence. And in order to say that and to prune ourselves off, we have to also throw out the window fear of the Lord. A person who maintains a reverential fear of the Lord will never do that. That's why that is such a fundamental virtue, such a a very foundational gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've got fear of the Lord, you'll always remain on the branch, on the vine. Always. You know, when you're 18 years old and you go to college, if you have fear of the Lord, you will remain on the vine. You won't stop the practice of the faith. Even if you're not tremendously wise, you're still only a teenager. If you have that, you're going to be fine. Right? You know, as a little boy, if I had gone over to that vine and I had clipped off a branch, would it have immediately died in my hands? No. Especially if I put it in a little, you know, pickle jar of water and put it next to the window in the kitchen, it would have even continued living for a while. Would it have ever, would there ever be a grape that would appear on it? Never again. It's absolutely done producing fruit at that point. Once the branch has been severed from the vine, fruitfulness, done. Life, not necessarily. It can continue to live for a while. So too with us. You know, if I sever myself from the Lord, I don't immediately die. I just stop bearing fruit. I'll continue living for a while, but I'm going to begin to wither unto death. And the Lord had a few things to say about branches that reach that point. But until I reach that point in which there is no life any longer coursing through me, I can say to the Lord, the vine, I'm sorry. That was foolish. That was stupid. And he'll graft me back on. Let's just not take that risk. You know, I have known many young, wise people, and I have known many old fools. And as a priest whom I highly, highly respect once said, the worst fool is an old fool. And there's nothing more flabbergasting to me as a priest is to encounter a person who has been a Catholic their entire life. And, you know, this is a ridiculous example, but, you know, I move a candlestick or whatever on the altar and they're like, God, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm not taking this anymore. You're 80 years old and you're going to stop going to Mass now. You're going to rebel now. You're going to cut yourself off from the vine now. Wow, you'd think that you would be wise with age, but you're not. You're a fool. And here is a 15-year-old with not much more than a humble fear of the Lord, and they're hanging in there. Fear of the Lord seems to me to go hand in hand with humility and go hand in hand with wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And on the other side of that, irreverence seems to go hand in hand with pride, which seems to go hand in hand with foolishness. Fear of the Lord is a good thing, isn't it? And if one has that reverence before the Lord, you're never going to lock yourself off the vine. And there's a beautiful image that is given to us in the current catechism, and it is this. If Jesus is the vine, and God the Father is the vine grower, where does the Holy Spirit fit into that, to that image? The Holy Spirit is the sap that courses through the vine and into the branches and then bears the fruit. As long as we remain on the vine, Father's going to do the pruning that he needs to do. The Holy Spirit is going to be coursing through and into us that we may bear fruit. As long as we remain in him. Because that is how God is glorified. That we remain in him and that we bear much fruit.